Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming and joining us for worship this morning. Our family's up here getting ready to go. And I'm sure everyone knows Pastor Mike and Gaylene are out on vacation, honeymoon thing they got going. So they won't be here this Sunday, but we have Pastor Josh sitting in the back, and he's going to be coming up here sharing the word this morning. So here we go. We're going to get started. Here's our beautiful worship team, and they're going to lead us into worship.
Before we start worship, let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you today for the ability to come and worship you in freedom. With our voices, with our hands and our hearts, Lord, and we just thank you. All the blessings of that, Lord, we thank you. We pray a blessing upon Pastor Gay and Mike as they are out. Pray that you will bless this worship today. Bless Pastor Josh as he speaks your word. Let your word be received for this in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.
Hello. Okay, it works. Jesse, you feel free to yell at me if I'm not holding this mic correctly. Okay. Good deal. Nice. How's everyone doing? Good deal. It's really cool to be here with everyone. You know, Mike and Gaylene, aren't they just amazing people? Before I get into wherever I end up today, I'm one of these guys that kind of just shoots from the hip, and I tend to have to hold back a little bit sometimes because I just kind of say it as it is, and whatever comes out, comes out. But Mike and Gaylene have just been just amazing people in my life. As you guys obviously are here today, and each of you know them, you know, I went through a very, I met Mike and Gay years ago when I worked in real estate and developed a great relationship with them. And later on in life, when I went through some very difficult circumstances, there was literally like two or three people in my life that were there for me. And Mike and Gay were just amazing. You know, they just walked with me through some very tough stuff. And without Mike is one of my closest, dearest friends. I mean, he must trust me some to let me be here. I sent him a text message this morning saying, you know, I'm going to try not to wreck, you know, hopefully you'll have a few members that are still in your church when you come back. So anyway, he said, go for it. So I want to introduce my wife in the back. This is Lee. And she is amazing. I love her very much. Quick story. So Lee's from China. And we met in all places online, which was, you know, you always hear online dating and weird things. Well, it actually does work. we met on some Christian website, and we started talking. And as time went on and we continued to converse with each other, that turned into me taking three trips to China and getting to meet her family and everything. And just had an amazing experience. And Lee and I ended up getting married. And she is definitely God's gift to my life. And so Lee got here back in March and brought her son, Howen. And so I now have a stepson also, which is very cool. And so the Crofton house just got a little bigger. And anyway, I could go into a massive story about just things that have happened. But anyway, I just wanted everyone to meet Lee. She's amazing. She speaks six languages. Can you believe that? And it's been a trip this last couple of years have. So God is very good, though. So I've been praying and asking the Lord, okay, so what is it that you want to convey here today? You know, Lord, what is it that you're wanting to speak and for us to get a hold of? And, you know, honestly, the thing that's been in my spirit is just, man, just speak the truth. Just speak the truth in love, right? And so I've been thinking about a lot of different things, and I'm one of these people that kind of goes from a stream of consciousness. I kind of process things quickly and just move with it and go wherever I just feel like the Lord wanting to go. And so, you know, in this day and age that we're in right now, how many of you could say it's kind of crazy? Is that an understatement? Right? We are living in crazy, crazy times. And, you know, you turn on the news and you're like, are you kidding me? Just things that are going on in the world and the way people are thinking and the way people are behaving and just ideas and things that, you know, just are in, to me, they're kind of like insanity in a way. And I do believe it's a spirit that's, you know, trying to mess with people in a lot of ways, and people are giving into it. But the good news is God is God. God is in charge. His word never changes. His word never fails. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That's what the scripture says. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so while everything else seems to be shaking in this world, God's not shaken. His kingdom isn't shaken. And I believe we are in a place right now where we are going to see the kingdom of God manifest with power unlike ever before. Isaiah says that, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness covers the earth, deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise on you. And I think it's amazing how, you know, it feels like we are in a place where backdrops of power are on the scene, where it looks like things are dark, things aren't where they should be, but that's just like a divine setup from God to display his power. And the cool thing about it is, you know, anyone that belongs to the Lord is already qualified. If you belong to Jesus Christ, if you have given your life to him, if you've put your trust in him, he's going to use you powerfully in this earth. And all he's looking for is just like a heart that's open and willing to say yes to him. I mean, it's that simple. Sometimes we overcomplicate things when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to having a relationship with God. You know, everyone's different and unique. And we forget that God is incredibly multifaceted. He's incredibly big and multifaceted. And so the way God might speak to me or my relationship with him might be totally different than the way he speaks to you or your relationship with him. But that's what makes it amazing to be in the body of Christ. Many members, one body. The eye can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. You know, the ear can't say to the hand, you know, you're not a part of the body. And so I find stuff like that incredibly interesting because, you know, just as much as there's a lot of division in the world right now, there's a lot of division in the church too. There really is. And that's very sad to me because, you know, God loves all of us and wants to have a church and a body that is one in him. And believe it or not, even with all the differences the church has and the body of Christ has, we're still in him and we're still one. We just don't really recognize it yet because I feel like the enemy. Oh, thank you so much. I was just going to say, oh, I need a drink of water. Oop, I got it. So I think that it's a very interesting time. Hold on one second. It's a very interesting time to be alive, and the body of Christ, I believe, is coming to a place where we're going to realize how much we need each other, how much we need to come together, and that doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. That just means let's lay down the divisions. Let's lay down all the things that we fight about that mean nothing. I mean, do you realize that there are denominations that have totally separated themselves from others based on baptism, whether you dunk someone or sprinkle them? Whether you go to church on Saturday or Sunday, whether or not you speak in tongues or don't speak in tongues, you do it privately or publicly. I mean, just... and complete divisions brought up over this stuff. We could go deep in that. The whole point is, I believe those things are going to become less and less because we're going to realize how much we actually have in common and how big God is and how much we really need him. If there was ever a time we need God in the United States, boy... it sure seems like it now. We've got all kinds of divisions politically. We've got all kinds of crazy things going on in the economy and the environment. People losing their minds and going off in the deep end. And I say all of that knowing that in the end, we win. God's word does not fail ever, ever. And all the stuff that people get, you know, bent out of shape about, it's really not going to matter, you know, in eternity, in the sense of when you enter into your eternal rest with the Lord, you know, whether you had or didn't have, or how much money you made, or this or that, or who was president, who wasn't, that's not going to matter. It's did you love God? Did you love people? You know, did you put your trust in him? Just all those different things. And so, Jesse, why don't you go ahead and throw that first scripture up for me? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Everyone here probably knows this scripture already. But I just want to break a few things down here, and then we'll see where we go. Do we got it up there? Hey, you found that version. Look at that. Okay, I'm going to read it from my phone, but you guys can read there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Well, that's a little different version, but it says the same thing. You guys all know that scripture, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. There's a scripture to live by, right there. Putting your faith and trust in God, acknowledging him in your life. Don't try to figure it out on your own. Trust him and he will direct your paths. You know, sometimes the gospel is so simple and we overcomplicate the heck out of it. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that, you know, salvation, having a relationship with God, loving people, that is... It can't be any simpler, but yet we add so many things to it and we overcomplicate it. And God is just wanting us to trust him with our lives. He's wanting us to trust him that he is able to complete what he has begun in each one of us. We just need to sometimes just back off and let him do what he's doing in our lives. And, you know, I want to say this too. Sometimes the enemy will take things like, let's say disappointment, for example. Let's use that as an example. How many of you have had disappointing circumstances in life before? Come on, let me see those hands. Right? I mean, hello. We live in a fallen world where crazy stuff happens. Yes, disappointing things happen in life all the time. I just heard about a gentleman who passed away on Friday, someone I had known for a very long time, a very dear and precious family, you know, found out he had cancer and he was dead in 4 weeks. And you know, I look at stuff like that. I have a younger brother that passed away just suddenly, went to bed one night, had a heart attack, died. He was 30 years old. You know, I could go down the list of disappointing things that have happened, you know, areas where hurt has been in my life or things have happened to me, you know, whether it's been emotionally, physically, different things like that. Disappointments happen in life. Stuff goes on. But at the end of the day, do you let those things define you? And how do you respond to disappointments? How do you respond when things aren't going the way that you want them to? You lose a job. You lose a loved one. You got no money in the bank. So there's a sickness in the family. You know, your kid isn't doing what you're hoping they would do, or they're making bad choices. Things like that. Those are all incredible disappointments that can happen in life. But how it's those things, if we let them define us or let them define our relationship with God, that's where we miss it. Those things are only there so that we can overcome and get a different perspective on who God is and how much he loves us, and let him work in our hearts in the midst of tragedies. You know, I've seen people who go through things in life and you know, good people, people that it's like they're doing all the right things. They're good people, and bad things have happened to them. And you scratch your head and you're like, geez, Lord, you know, why would this happen to this person? You know, I know a couple people right now, dear, good people that have come down with serious cancer. Young guys, both these guys are like in their, you know, early 50s. And it's like, geez, Lord, you know, these guys have never smoked a day in their life. They've never, you know, they don't drink, they don't smoke, they haven't lived crazy, yet here they are with cancer. And it's like, when I see things like that, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to wonder, you know, where are you, God? What's going on? But then I see their response to the situation and them giving glory to God in the midst of a trial, giving glory to God in the midst of something that's incredibly unpleasant, and worshiping God through it, and proclaiming, I'm going to overcome this thing. Proclaiming, you know, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. When I see that, it changes the whole, my whole paradigm shifts. I realize, oh my God, you know, I'm the one with the issue here, not them. They're overcoming this thing, and here I am, you know, getting down about what's going on, wondering where you're at, God, and you're right there in the midst of that situation. And so I've had multiple things where I've been seeing that lately with people in bad situations rising up to the occasion, saying, no, you know, this isn't over yet. God has the final say. And it's crazy because it's like a mirror of reflection where I get to look and see what my response is. And I'll be honest, my response hasn't been great all the time. I mean, you know, I've had things happen in life where I'm like, holy smokes, you know, I thought I had my act together. And then I realized, no, I don't. You know, I'm still a baby. I'm still an infant in this area. And so disappointments and how we deal with them is a real reflection of not only where we're at, but also it's an invitation. A disappointment is an invitation for the glory of God to manifest. Anything dark in this world, anything where there are tragedy or where there is the work of the enemy, is always an invitation for the glory of God and for the power of God to come in the midst of that situation or circumstance. Does that make sense? Now, I'm just speaking from the heart here. I know that, well, I'll get to that in a minute. Okay. So let me ask you guys this. What are the most valuable assets that you possess right now? Like I'm going to ask that question. I want to hear a few responses, okay? We're a small group here, right? So what are the most valuable assets that you possess right now in your life? Does somebody want to throw something out there? Go for it. Family. That's a good one. Family. Anyone else?
Church family.
Yeah? Anything else? Okay. Well, you guys totally hit it. You know, the most valuable assets that I feel like, I know this is for me, and I believe it's for all of you as well. A relationship with Jesus Christ, right? That is the most valuable, treasured asset there is, period. If you have a relationship with God, you win. Sorry, no matter what the scenario, no matter what the circumstance, at the end of the day, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you've already won. I mean, think about that. This life is temporary. right? Here today, gone tomorrow. No one knows how long they have in this earth. But if you have a relationship with God, you win. Friends, family, community. We nailed them here. You guys hit those three right on the head. Having family that we love, having friends that are true friends, and having a community that we fellowship with, that we can trust in, confide in, come together, pray for each other, all of those different things. Those are assets that are beyond, you can't put money on that, right? And then here's one that a lot of people forget: wisdom. Wisdom is, I don't want to say it's the most important, because obviously a relationship with the Lord is, and family and friends, but it's in the middle of that. And I want to read a couple more scriptures to you here that just deal with wisdom, and I'll talk about this a little more. Jesse, can you go to Proverbs 8:11? I guess I should do that too on my phone. Okay, we there? Yep. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. Wait, hold on. Sorry about that. Let's start at verse 10. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. So, and why don't you go to Proverbs 8:17 through 19 also, Jesse? I'll go ahead and read this one too. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than the choicest silver. The reason I bring these scriptures up, and I'm sure you guys have read these before, is we put value on so many different things in life. But how many things actually have eternal value? I mean, if you think about it, like if you just go through a day in your life, go through a month, a year, and just think about your value system. And how much time do you give to things that have no eternal value? And, you know, I've actually done this before. And I got to say that I came up pretty short, honestly. We put our time and effort towards the things we value every day. We go to work. Obviously, our family. Obviously, you know, our personal selves. And don't get me wrong, those are great things. Obviously, family, your personal life, all of that stuff. But the scripture here talks about wisdom and how that is the most valuable commodity there is in this world. Gold and silver can't even compare to it. All the riches, all the things that could ever be desired don't even come close to those who can attain wisdom. And I think about in my own personal life how I've asked God for wisdom at times. I've sought after him before for supernatural wisdom, just that he would fill my spirit with it. And I saw breakthroughs at times, but then I've had other seasons in life where I didn't do that, where I sought other things rather than him and wisdom and the treasure that truly is. And so I believe we are coming into a time where wisdom will be the most precious commodity spiritually that you could ever attain in the earth. I believe we're coming into a time where those that seek after wisdom and truly ask God for his wisdom, they will advance beyond anyone else. They will have a supernatural favor and grace on their lives to do things, to construct things, to whether it's in business, whether it's just in making wise decisions about things. Wisdom is there, but God's looking for people that will seek after wisdom. Because in our country right now, and frankly in the church, we've traded some of the things in Scripture for just watered down, I hear this the right way, but just almost like a limp-wristed Christianity. You know, I mean, we've turned the gospel into whatever brings most people in the seats. You know, whatever will bring them in on Sunday, that's what we're going to do. You know, whatever gets the most likes on Facebook or the most followers on Instagram, that's what we're going to do. And it's ridiculous. Like, and I'm, please hear me. I love the church. I'm just being real though. And I believe that whole house of cards is coming down simply because there's nothing there to hold it up. You know, there's, if the foundation isn't God, if the foundation is built on sand, it's going to tumble. And there's so many people in churches today that deeply love God, that deeply, with all their heart, love him and follow him. But it's like when you hear something enough times that's watered down, it's like two things happen. Either you begin to just feel like you're going to die and you become numb to it and you're no good, or you can't handle it anymore and you just got to go. And this is kind of an interesting statistic. They said that, I read this, I think, three different times now, and I don't have the exact numbers, but more people have left the church in the last 10 years than at any time in modern history. More people have left the church, and more young people are choosing not to go to church. And that might sound like a bad thing, but I don't believe people are necessarily leaving a relationship with God. They're just, people are leaving the organized religion aspect of things because it's become so watered down and so, like, just culturally sensitive or culturally PC that it has no effect. Does that make sense? I know I'm kind of just shooting from the hip here, but I'm just being real. And I really believe that one of the next moves of God we're going to see is the church, like, speaking the truth once again. Like, the church actually, like, speaking the Bible, preaching the Bible. Like, you know what I mean? One thing that I noticed in the church, and when I say in the church, I'm not pointing at one church. I'm just saying church culture as a whole. When was the last time you ever heard someone talk about sin? Right? Like, when was the last time you ever heard someone talk about that sinning's not good? That we shouldn't do it. I literally don't remember the last time I've heard that even preached. I'm not one of these people that believes, you know, in preaching hell, fire, and brimstone. I don't believe that at all. But I do believe it with all my heart that the scriptures are very clear. You don't have to interpret things too deeply. You know, it just seems like there has been a spirit that has tried to dumb down the church. And on the flip side of that, you know, when did we become complacent or happy with, you know, if someone's sick and we pray for them and they're not healed? Are we doing something wrong? Did God forget about that person? Is his word still true? Like I'm trying to play both sides of this right now. On the one side, we have a culture that has dumbed down Christianity, but then on the other side, you know, we shouldn't be okay with people not being healed, people, you know, having tragedy in their life, and we're there, but it's as if nothing changes, or there's no, you know, God, where are you? And the reason I'm saying this is because I don't want to live in the middle. I don't want to be okay with sick people staying sick. I don't want to be okay with, you know, people dying and having never heard the gospel, or maybe they heard it, but it was such a watered down version that, you know, yeah, I'm okay. I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with a Christianity that leaves out half of the Bible, or, you know, just cherry picks a few scriptures and says that's who God is. When no, God is God. God is the first and the last. He's the one who has the final say in everything, and he is merciful, but he's also judge. God, I'm not okay with that. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that I believe we are coming into a time where people are getting tired of it. People want the truth. People want to hear the truth. And that's why the scripture says, speak the truth in love. And you know, if someone gets up and they're preaching the gospel, but their heart's not in the right place, you know, they could be saying the right things, but if their heart's not in the right place, it doesn't have the effect that God wants it to have. But my goodness, if your heart is coming from a place of true love for God and love for people, he's going to take what you have to say, and he's going to use it in a powerful way. And I don't know, I just... There's a part of me that can just feel in my heart like we are at this tipping point in our country. We're at a tipping point where, you know, are we going to topple over into dark times, or are we going to go the other direction, and are we going to see tremendous breakthroughs? Either way, God's on either side of that, just so you know. If it gets darker, God's going to get lighter. If we have tremendous breakthroughs, praise God. I want to see that for everyone. And God give us wisdom on how to handle the increase. But my point is this. We can't stay in the middle. He's not going to let us stay on the fence. What did he say? You're either hot or you're cold. Don't be lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth, he said. Like, I don't want to be spewed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather be hot or cold. And I think that it's important to realize that each one of us has a role to play in what God has, what his overall plan is. You know, this right here, okay, we're a small group today. Here I am. Yep, I'm speaking. I'm standing behind this pulpit. But I believe in the days of the Apostle Paul and Peter, they didn't have this. They weren't up here. This was about community. It was about fellowshipping together. It was about, how can we serve you? True leadership actually gets underneath and serves people and lifts them up. True leadership doesn't look for people to lord over. True leadership wants to get underneath people and raise them up into everything God has for them. And there was a time in my life where I was so involved with ministry, and I shared this a little bit with you. I was so involved with ministry and wanting to do all these things. And, you know, I was traveling, doing all this stuff until some tragedy hit my life. And I realized I knew about this much. I believed about this much of what I actually spoke. You know, I went through a tough time. And when the rubber really met the road, I realized that maybe I'm not Mr. Faith. Maybe I don't have everything I thought I did. And I can say this being totally honest and transparent with everyone because it was a good thing in my life that for God to reveal that to me. Because it's made me realize what kind of person I want to be and that I don't want to have some, you know, preach a good word and that's all you got. Like, I want to live it. I want to be real with people. I want to live in the truth and not sugarcoat anything. And so, the whole scenario I went through in my life personally brought me to a place where I realized that, okay, God, I need you more than ever before. And whatever you need to do in my life for me to actually rise up and to begin to do what I feel like you've called me to, I yield. Whatever that's going to look like, whatever you need to do. And one of the first things God did with me, which really kind of surprised me, is he took away my fear of man and he took away my fear of reputation. Like I used to, you know how it is, you try to do things the right way and you don't want to offend people, or, you know, you want to be the guy that always has the right things to say and, you know, I'm so spiritual, all that kind of stuff. Oh, he totally destroyed it. So I am actually freer today than I ever was before, simply because I don't consider myself really having anything to lose. Does that make sense? And I'm not saying that, I believe God takes everyone through processes that free them and help them get untangled from things that maybe aren't healthy or ways of thinking, ideas, all those different things. But I say that God really truly saved my life out of some very difficult circumstances. And in that, he's been rebuilding my life. And so, you know, I used to be passionate about constantly, you know, wanting to preach and all this stuff. And that's where my focus was all the time. Well, when I started realizing that, geez, I think a lot of that's just about me, not so much about him. And I started realizing the self-centeredness of my own ambition in certain things. I hope it's okay to say all this stuff. Is that all right? It was like, wow, maybe I'm the one that's been deceived here. And so it's amazing how God will reveal things to you, but then take all of that and sift it for you and get all the stuff out of there that shouldn't be in there and then begin rebuilding the right way. So that's the process of I've been in, and I'm sure we all go through that at different stages in life where something gets torn down, but he builds it back up the right way. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out to you guys. Is there a situation in your life right now that needs wisdom? Like, this is a question to everyone. Do you have a situation right now in your life that would require God's wisdom? It's okay. You raise your hand if you do. If you don't, that's fine. I see a couple hands. Okay. Like, you got a bunch. Yeah. So I want to challenge everyone on this. And then I've got one more point and I'm going to close here. I want to challenge everyone, if there is an area of your life where you are needing wisdom, not only to ask God for wisdom, but I want to challenge you to like clear the table in your mind, to clear the table in your heart, to like get all the junk out in the sense of all the preconceived things you've thought or done or whatever, just clear the table and ask God to give you his solution to whatever those issues are. And if you don't get the whole thing, that's fine. A lot of times God will speak something and he'll give you this much. And until you act on it, you don't really get the next portion. But I want to encourage everyone here to begin to ask God for wisdom on whatever it is that you're needing right now. And watch him be at work for you. You know, the scripture says that he's given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, he's already given it to you. It's already in you. If the Holy Spirit's in you, you have wisdom in you. Ask God to bring it to the surface and show you what the answer is, because I know he will come through for you. A lot of you have not because you ask not. We've all read that scripture, right? You have not because you ask not. And so ask God for wisdom and watch what he does. And then I'm going to close with this. I know, what time is it? Okay, good. Hey, we're all getting out of church early today. You're like, oh, thank God. Okay. I want to talk briefly, and then I'm going to pray, about being a risk taker. How many of you guys consider yourselves risk takers? There we go. We got one, two, three. All right. I'm a risk taker. Some of those risks have been horrible. Some have paid off, some haven't, but I am a risk taker. I think I get it from my dad. I'm not sure. But being a risk taker, you've got to be one to some degree. And even if you didn't raise your hand, you are a risk taker at some level in your life. Because, getting in your car and driving to the grocery store is a risk, right? You know what I mean? Getting on an airplane is a risk. You know, getting out of bed in the morning can sometimes be a risk. I want to encourage everyone to find out in your life where you're not taking enough risk. And you might think, well, geez, Josh, that's crazy. Why would I want to do that? You know, I don't want risk. I want something that's concrete. I want something that's, you know, not going to fail. The reality is this, is that God has never promised us ever that life would be perfect, that life would be without struggle or disappointments, all the things we've talked about. God has never promised that whatsoever. But God does give us the ability to step out of the boat and to do things that would not happen unless you got out. And so find out what that is in your life right now. If, for example, you know, I'm just throwing things out here. Let's say you need a job. You're out of work. Well, a job's probably not going to just knock on your door. It could happen, right? God could send someone with a job and knock on your door. But unless you take the effort and take a risk to put yourself out there and to believe God for something or to pursue a career or initiate some kind of step in that direction, it's probably not going to happen. And a lot of times we blame things on God, that he's like, I'm just waiting on you. Like, you know what I mean? Like I've had times in my life where I'm like, God, where are you? And he's like, I'm right here. Where are you? Because he's just waiting for me to make a move in a certain direction. And this whole idea that, you know, God's plan for our life is just one direction. And so we've got to stay on this path of destiny. Otherwise we miss God's plan for us. That is garbage. That is just, if you think that way, I love you, but that is garbage. And this is why I say that. Because God gives us the ability to make decisions every day. And if I'm going this direction with my life and something happens and I make a left turn, he's still in that left turn. I may have got off a certain course that he wants me to be on, but he's still there in the left turn, and he's able to get me back on the highway he wants me to be on, even if it's at a couple exits down the road. Do you see what I'm saying? And so when we walk with God and we're having a relationship with him and we live in this like this strict way of thinking that restricts all this stuff in life, sometimes that actually makes it more difficult rather than just trusting him. Like I said in the first scripture, trusting him with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him and he's going to direct your path. And you've got to be willing to take risks in life, because if you don't, you won't go where you truly want to go without them. And like I said, I've taken some risks that have not paid off before, but I've taken some other risks that have sure paid off big. And I got to say, the ones that have paid off big meant more to me than the ones that I missed. Right there's a perfect example. Lee, right there in the back. That was a risk, okay? And I'm not ashamed to say that at all. I could have been getting catfished. I didn't know. When I went to China, I didn't know what to think, right? Here I am, you know, the middle-aged white guy going to China, never been there before, and I met the love of my life there. But had I not been willing to take that step, you know, I would have missed out on just an amazing blessing in my life. I can say that with a lot of other things, too, that have gone on in my life. But the point is this: what's the risk for you? Because it's not about me. It's what's the risk for you? What in your life are you wanting to do? You felt in your heart that you want to do it, but you're not. Have you taken a risk yet? You know, it could be relational. Maybe there's someone that hurt you a long time ago, and you've wanted to reconnect with them, but it would take a risk to do that, because maybe you could get hurt again. Maybe it could be, you know, a financial investment you're wanting to make. And the risk is you could lose money or you could make money. A job you want to start, a career you want to go, a house you want to buy, a country you want to travel to. I mean, the list goes on. But unless you take those steps and are willing to put yourself out there, then, you know, at the end of the day, you're still just playing it safe. And so I only say that because I truly believe that God will meet you wherever you're at. And listen, when I say that failure is just a part of life, it really is. Some of the greatest, deepest lessons I've ever learned have come from failure. You know, I mean, I've had things happen that I'm like, whew, I won't do that again. You know what I mean? And sometimes those are the lessons that pay off the most. Even when things don't look right, they do pay off the most. And so I want to encourage all of you guys to be willing to take risk, to trust God. He is good. And you know what? The church is rising up. God's church is full of glory, full of power. It doesn't matter what condition she looks in right now. We are a bride without spot or blemish, like the word says. And I just believe our greatest days are in front of us. It could get a little ugly at times, but they're in front of us. And we're gonna see the glory of God manifest in ways we never thought possible. So let's stand up. Let's pray. I appreciate you guys allowing me to come and share. I know I'm kind of all over the place. It's been a while since I've spoken publicly. And Mike and Gay, if you're listening to this on the playback or something, I hope we can still be friends. Father God, I just want to thank you for these precious people. And I want to thank you right now that you love us, Jesus. You love each and every person here, God. Father, I thank you that you use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God, I thank you that you take the lowly things and you elevate them, God. You take the abased things and you use them, Father, to demonstrate your power and your glory in this earth. And so, God, I am asking right now that you elevate your people.
I'm asking right now, Father, that the glory of God would cover everyone in this room, that the glory of God would go before your people, Father, and that you would do amazing things with them, that you would show them how much you love them. And I pray for breakthroughs for every person in this place, God. Lord, I just speak that out right now, breakthrough. I speak breakthrough, breakthrough in Jesus' name. God, right now, I just want to release, Father, just an anointing of favor over everyone, Lord. I pray that favor would increase. I pray, Father, that doors that have been shut would open up wide right now. I pray, Father, that there would be an increase in wisdom and discernment that comes upon everyone in this room, Father. And that as we leave this place today, God, that there would be a hope and an anticipation in everyone's heart for the good things you are doing and for the good that is going to increase in each of their lives, in Jesus' name. Father, I ask also, Lord, that anyone here, Father, that has been wrestling just in their minds, God, anyone that's been wrestling with any kind of fear, anyone that's been wrestling with just feeling like they're stuck, God, I ask that you free them today. I ask that you literally break off any hindrances from their lives, Father, and that you would free them so that they could fly higher than they've ever flown before with you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.